a surgeon, an engineer, and a politician were debating which of their professions was the oldest. The surgeon said Eve was made from Adam's rib, and that, of course, was a surgical procedure. Obviously, surgery is the oldest profession. The engineer countered with, "Yes, but before that, order was created out of chaos, and that most certainly was an engineering job." The politician smiled and said triumphantly, "Aha! And just who do you think created the chaos?" Yes, it's an old joke, but it kind of hits close to home, doesn't it? Particularly when one considers what's happening in Minneapolis. But it's not just there. It's spread across the country, but right now focused in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Sims, we were just talking about Minneapolis a few weeks ago. And just a few years ago, same city, there were the George Floyd riots. Well, let's call them what they really were, insurrections, were peaceably being held in various blue cities around the country where there was no violence whatsoever and not a single soul was harmed in any way. If anyone died during that summer of love, well, they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. If they would have just gotten with the program, everything would have been peaches and cream, sunshine and rainbows. In retrospect, it doesn't seem like it was such a big deal after all. There's just a bunch of people who want to rewrite history, to revision history, to make narratives of things that never happened. You all do understand, don't you? Well, let's recall a few facts. George Floyd was not suffocated by a policeman, but died of a drug overdose when his body simply stopped breathing. Which reminds us of another horrendous lie right here in our own city. Michael Brown, such an upstanding, promising black young person, college-bound, got shot dead in cold blood by an overzealous, cruel cop. "Hands up, don't shoot," he supposedly said repeatedly. That, too, sparked a spasm of hysterical fury nationwide against police and law and order. Turns out the whole scenario was one big, fat lie. It never happened that way. Compare that with the left's latest martyr, a peaceful, innocent, upstanding young man named Alex Pretty, an intensive care nurse who worked for the VA, no less, was just up and gunned down to death by crazed ICE enforcement agents in, yet again, Minneapolis. Such a crying shame. Except he was an insurrectionist, an insurgent, a violent domestic terrorist fighting against the very government that employed him. Do you see a pattern here? Lies, all lies, and people all over the place believe them and join them, adding their voices to the insanity, all the while patting themselves on the back for standing up for righteousness. But whose righteousness? But all this goes back much further. Last week, a large Methodist church in the city, gorgeous church, beautiful stained glass, exquisite huge pipe organ, hosted a worship service of largely white women who sang and chanted, mostly in Spanish, "Together we liberate ourselves." Freed from the likes of evil, now personified in ICE agents and federal law enforcement in general. In a way, it was musically a beautiful service, but worshiping evil itself. Note that their worship service was not peacefully interrupted by an invasion of leftist protesters like they did at City's church just two Sundays ago, causing children to cry and the worship service to be stopped mid-service as parents and families fled from their sanctuary for the safety of their homes. Most will be unfamiliar with the massive event held in Minneapolis at the Convention Center way back in November of 1993. This was the Reimagining God Conference, an event supported by the World Council of Churches. Such upright folks we know they are, right? It was at that conference that God was truly reimagined. God was renamed Sophia, of the feminine gender, and it was from her warm juices that she gave birth to all creation, our very world, and to us, the people. Let me tell you, it was far more pornographic than that. That event launched a whole reimagining God movement that is still working today. You can probably imagine what they're advocating for these days. This was also Minneapolis, St. Paul. That utterly, totally, and unabashedly blasphemous event was held in that city should have set off alarm bells in Christians everywhere, but especially believers in that city, such as our own AFLC. But as the Lord stated in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There was effectively almost no pushback from the churches to the looming principality hovering over that city, sending its tentacles into every aspect, structure, church, courtroom, classroom, hospital room, living room, and that metropolitan area, into every place that was not already marked by the blood of Christ Jesus and fortified by Holy Spirit. With that kind of history, is it any wonder that the chaos, the lawlessness, the treason, rebellion, the insurrection is happening there now? Clearly, obviously, this is not a rational political problem. It is, at its very root, a spiritual onslaught. And until that demonic root is pulled out and neutralized, things will not get better in that city, nor our country. Many people, often otherwise well-meaning Christians, frequently pastors even, claim that we mustn't allow politics in the church. How utterly stupid and biblically ignorant. What was that about Lord Jesus flying into a rage and turning over the tables of the money changers in the temple courts? You want to know what really turned the tide of the religious elite against the Lord? That was it. He threatened their cash flow. This would not do. So what did it all ultimately accomplish? His death on the cross purchased eternal life for all of creation, for all who would repent of their sins and turn to him. That was the ultimate exchange. But what would the Lord think of the satanic displays in many state capitals during Christmas? No nativity scenes, only Satan. The problem in Minnesota, particularly Minneapolis-St. Paul, is spiritual, as we've said. Let me quote James Lasher from his recent article in Charisma titled Exposed, The Demonic Mystery Unfolding in Minnesota That the Media Refuses to Address. Scripture teaches that the real struggle within societies is not against people or political leaders, but against spiritual forces that operate through deception and rebellion. These forces are described as principalities that seek to influence regions, cultures, and systems that reject God's authority. This framework makes recent events at the Minnesota State Capitol impossible to dismiss as symbolic or trivial. During the Christmas season of 2024, a satanic display was permitted inside the Capitol. In April 2025, a second display was approved that explicitly thanked Governor Tim Walz for allowing Satanism to be displayed in the building. The message openly rejected God's sovereignty and affirmed allegiance to Satan within the seat of state authority. From a biblical perspective, personal intent is beside the point. Scripture evaluates authority by what is permitted to stand in places of influence. Allowing false worship in a governing space grants spiritual access, whether or not that access is acknowledged. The Bible repeatedly warns that when false gods are elevated, disorder follows. People become unrestrained, confusion replaces clarity, obedience to authority begins to break down. Seen through this lens, Minnesota's unrest is not random. It is not spontaneous. It is the visible result of spiritual misalignment that has taken root at the highest levels of public authority. This can only be dealt with spiritually. I don't know when a concerted, united effort by thousands of Christians to pray for that metro area will reach its critical mass and by the blood of Lord Jesus expel the hideous monstrosity spiritually polluting that city, state, and beyond. When has there been a call to prayer from our AFLC headquarters as their city vomits blasphemy into America? Not once. Even so, it will be dislodged eventually, if in other far more disastrous ways. Is this city and state playing the role of Fort Sumter in Charleston, South Carolina on April 12, 1861? How desperately the forces of evil want to derail America's return to godliness as it approaches its 250th birthday. Some evil billionaires, one ensconced luxuriously in China, are shoveling masses of money to pay these insurrectionists to bring America to its knees, a la the Civil War, all over again. Larry Tomczyk, board member of Intercessors for America, wrote, "Progressive elements, or extremists, under the cover of the media and millions of ignorant and apathetic Americans, have a very specific agenda, and the sooner we examine it, the sooner we can intercede and be involved in stopping what's really behind the disorder and chaos." I add, the vast majority of the useful idiots are wounded people who urgently need healing that only comes from God. Receiving it, they'll suddenly know who and what true freedom is, and they'll work to restore righteous law and order. So, pray for the agitators, that they may come to know their healer. And then, civil war will be averted, and peace in America restored.